And we're holding on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, 14 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of the sugya of Yerushalayim Das. We said you have a case where you find something that doesn't have a simon. So once the owner realizes that he dropped it, he is going to be misyayish from it. But the question is, what happens before he realizes? Would you be allowed to take it and keep it at that point on the assumption that when he realizes that he lost it, he's going to be miyayish, or do you have to wait until you actually know that he had yush? We said Abaya said that you can't do that. Yush Shalem Das is not yush. Rava says it is, and we're in the middle of dealing with a whole string of proofs from Mishnayos and Braisis in one side or for the other. There's a chassidish of art on it, by the way, that says yush Shalem Das. If a person gives up hope, then it means that he's lacking das, because in other words, if he realized the truth, then he wouldn't give up in the first place. So it applies to a person. It applies to a person as far as his avoda in terms of giving up, that figuring that he's never going to improve. It includes a person in connection with his situation in the world, or the situation of the Jewish people in general in the world, or all kinds of things like that. Anyway, so the Gemara says Toshma. A Mishnah says, if you find dried figs on the road, now the Mishnah is going to go on to say that you're allowed to keep them even if it's near a field where they have dried figs. So even you're passing by, there's a field that has a bunch of dried figs in it lying there, a bunch of figs lying there to dry out, and you're walking on the road near that field and you find some dried figs, you don't have to be concerned that they come from that field, and therefore you can't keep them. You can assume, as we're going to go to work out now, that they don't come from that field at all, but rather somebody else who was passing by dropped them. And similarly, if you have a fig tree that leans over the road, and you find figs underneath it, mutaris mishum gezel. Either way, the figs are mutter under grounds of gezel. In other words, there's no isser of gezel by taking them. And they're potter from meiser because they're hefter, and the hefter is potter from meiser. Tosfos points out, actually, you would have to have, in order for them to be potter from meiser, it would have to be that gmar malacha has not happened yet. If already, for example, in the case of the dried figs, they're not completely dry yet. If they were already completely dry, and then they fell, then in fact they were already chayiv and meiser, and therefore the fact that they become hefker wouldn't potter them after that. So here we have to be talking about, in other words, that they weren't completely dry when they were lost. However, the Mishnah continues, if you have a parallel thing with olives or with carobs, then they would be also. So here, if you have somebody has an olive tree that hangs over the road and you find olives underneath it, then you wouldn't be able to take them because you have to assume that they came from the tree itself. And the same thing with carobs. So now, on the face of it, the first part of the Mishnah is the first part of the Mishnah seems to work only according to Abaya, and the first part on the face of it seems to work better according to Rava, that was saying that you're allowed to take them even though you don't know whether the owner has yush yet. The Gemara is going to point out that actually Abaya has no problem explaining why in the Reisha he should be mutter to take it. But the Sefer, that's saying that it would be also by olives and carobs, seems to contradict Rava. Why shouldn't you be allowed to take them? Why shouldn't we assume that he was miyayish from those just as well? So the Gemara works out the question. We can say it's easily understandable that the resha about the dried figs or the fresh figs is not a problem for Abaya. You would say, why are you allowed to take them? When according to Abaya, you would have to wait until you know the owner had yush. You could say, agav dechashivi, because they're important, mimashmash bahu, then he's going to regularly be checking them. Like we learned yesterday, that odom osi, lamashmash bekise b'chol shah, a person regularly checks his money bag to make sure that his money is still there, the same way the owner of the field is regularly going to be checking on these figs, whether fresh or dry. And therefore, if any of them are missing, then he's going to realize right away that they're missing and be miyash from them. So that so so or rather the as far that would be as far as the katsias, actually, as far as the dried figs. And te'inanami, as far as fresh figs off the tree, fine, you could say there's a different reason, maybe a dia de natura. He knows that it's often the case that figs fall off the tree. So to begin with, even he has yush in advance. He figures that any figs that fall off the tree, he doesn't know. Now Tosfos points out that he figures, you know, passers by are going to rationalize to themselves that they're allowed to take it. So even though technically it should be the din according to Abaya, that any figs that fall off the tree would in fact be his property and he'd be able to keep them. But right now, at least we're saying that he would assume that no, when people pass by, then he's going to give up. He's going to give up that any since so many figs regularly fall off the tree. Unlike at this point, the Gemara is assuming that with carobs and with olives it's less so, but with figs it's common enough that they fall off the tree, and he's going to figure that people who pass by may not be the erlucha people that they should, and return them. They're going to take them, so therefore we can assume that he's miyayish in the first place. So the Mishnah is not a question on Abaya. Because in the first case, again, in the first half of it, the Katsias was saying he would notice that they're missing right away and would be miyayish, and as far as the figs, he's miyayish even to begin with. El Seifa la Rava Kasha, but the Seifa of this Mishnah is a problem for Rava. The Katoni Bezesim of Chorovim Osir, we're saying olives or carobs he'd be also to. Now, according to Rava, why? The Pashtus, when it's true, maybe they don't fall off as often, but they do fall off. And we could assume that whenever they do, he's Miyayish for the same reason, because anybody who finds them is going to figure that they can take them for themselves. So according to Rava, why would there be a problem? When he finds out they're missing, he will be Miyayish. And according to Rava, that's fine. Even though we don't know right now that he was Miyayish, yet eventually he will be. So the answer is Amar Rav Abahu, shiny zayis. It's different when it comes to an olive tree. Because the appearance of it, and of the individual olives on it shows who owns it. But Afagab the Natrin Zesi, even though olives do sometimes fall off the tree, maybe Yadia, still they'll be recognizable because, as the expression goes, Duch de Inish Inish Hu, a person's place is the person, meaning a person tends to resemble, a lot of times you can tell where a person is from by his appearance, and vice versa. Tertus Chaim says a person often modifies his environment to suit his needs. So the same way, in other words, every olive tree, because different people are cultivating different olive trees, therefore the olives from each one look a little bit different. And if you're familiar with them, then you'll easily be able to recognize this olive that's on the ground can be identified as being from this tree or from this person's grove of trees. So there's less reason for the owner to be miyayish, as the Gemara is going to point out. With figs, it's not like that. As the Gemara is going to point out in a minute, with figs, it's not like that. So the owner is not going to be miyayish at all. He figures as people pass by, they're going to realize that these olives, in fact, come from my tree. And even the over drachim, even the people who pass by on the road, where they're not going to go and rationalize for themselves and take it, they're going to realize that it came from my tree, and they're going to return it. Tosfos brings a different girsa, which is not chazusay mechiyach olav, but rather v'zeisay mechiyach olav. That when it comes to an olive tree, the difference is that the very fact that there's an olive tree there, and then you find olives, demonstrates, and the same thing with carobs, demonstrates that they came from that tree, as opposed to the Gemara is going to explain in a minute why with figs it's different. So in other words, Rava would say it's not you can't take the olives because right now the guy wasn't miyayish yet, but when he finds out that the olives are missing from his tree, he will be miyayish. No, Rava is saying when it comes to olives and carobs, he's never going to be miyayish, and therefore, of course, you can't take them. So the Gemara asked, Ihochi afilu reishanami. Well, in that case, in the reisha, as far as the dried figs or the fresh figs, shouldn't you have the same consideration? Wouldn't you say the same thing that figs also noticeable where they came from, because every fig tree is slightly different. And the answer is Amara Papa Taina imnifilosan in Esses. The difference is when a fig, being a salt fruit, when it falls off the tree, it becomes disgusting. It becomes dirty and disgusting. Therefore, the owners are after it. Tosfos brings a different girsa, not nim eses with an aleph, but nimeses without the aleph, which means squashed. So because they're soft fruit, as soon as they fall off the tree, they get squashed. And therefore, they're not noticeably the same as the ones on the tree. So therefore, people may not chapsach that they actually came from this tree. Not necessarily, because again, you have people may pass by eating figs and then they drop some of them. So it's not necessarily from that tree, even if you happen to find them, even if you happen to find them there. So that's the point. In other words, so if you say nimeses without an aleph, it means squashed. If you say nimeses, means they become dirty, because again, they're soft fruits, so they become dirty with the dust. Either way, the point is, therefore, one way of understanding the Gemara's answer, therefore, is that with figs, not so much that he figures that nobody's going to know they came from this tree, but because they become dirty and disgusting, he figures, why should I bother? I may as well be after them. According to Tosfos, rather, the vort is more that he's saying that because they get squashed or dirty, and therefore they don't resemble the ones on the tree, then therefore we can't say duchta de inish inishu, like we said, as far as the olives and the carobs, where they tend to retain their shape and their color and everything, and therefore they're recognizable as being from the tree. So in short, we would explain the Mishnah according to Abaya. We would say that you're not allowed to take yush. Shalemi das is not yush. However, when it comes to ksias, he's going to notice right away they're missing because they're important. And when it comes to te'enim, because he knows to begin with that they fall off there and they become dirty and whatever, therefore he's miyayish even to begin with. According to Rava, the vote would be. And then on the other hand, Abaya would say by olives and carobs, since they don't fall off as much, then he's not miyayish on them in the first place. And even after all, even Katsias, we wouldn't say he was miyayish if it weren't for the fact that he checks on them all the time. As opposed to, according to Rava, what we're saying is that with dried and fresh figs. With dried figs, yeah, we would say that he checks on them. He checks on them all the time, and he'll notice if any are missing. Fresh figs, we're saying because te'enim nifalosanim eses, therefore he's mafkir it in the first place, because he knows when it falls off, it's going to get squashed or dirty or whatever, and it's not worth bothering to go and get from the road. And as far as zaysim b'chorov ma'aser, not because when the person finds out that he lost them, he's going to be miyayish, but now, therefore, we can't take them. That would be according to Abaya, but rather because when it comes to those, he's never miyayish, because since they're recognizable as coming from this tree, then he's never going to be miyayish on them. Okay. So it works out according to both of them, right? The Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another one. Abraisa says, a ganav shenotom mizev nosan lozev. If a ganav took something from one person and gave it to another person. So we're talking about, in other words, there's yush and there's shinu reshus. Now, as we learned in Bava Kama extensively, once there's yush and shinu reshus, then the person is able to keep it. The ganav himself has to repay the owner, but the person who got the thing can keep it. V'chein gazlan shenotom mizev nosan lazeh. The same thing if a gazlan does the same kind of thing. V'chein yaudin shenotom mizev nosan lazeh. The same thing if the yaudin river overflows and then floods and then takes things from one person's property and puts it in another person's property. Rashi says we don't mean specifically the Yaudin. It so happens this Tana lived near the Yaudin River. So when he's thinking of an example of a river, he thinks of the Yaudin. But according to Rashi, the same thing would apply to other rivers as well. The Yerushalmi actually brings this braise in a different context in Masech Shvius, I think, and refers it actually to a whole different din, which is not relevant to our Gemara over here, namely that it does mean specifically the Yaudin River, and it means, in other words, the Yaudin, after all, is the border between Eretz Yisrael, one of the borders between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Rivers sometimes change their course. Sometimes they start flow. Sometimes you have a place where a river used to flow over here, and then you have a little bend of the river or something, and then it changes its course a little bit because of a flood, and starts flowing in a different stream bed. So now you might have land that used to be part of Eretz Yisrael and now becomes part of Chutz and now ends up across the Yaudin or vice versa. So then we're saying that that actually has an effect. And now this land becomes part of Eretz Yisrael or part of Chutz La'aretz, that little piece of land becomes part of Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, respectively. There is also, by the way, there's a vort brought from the Arizal. It's brought in Kisvei Arizal. It's brought in Chassidus that the Yarden over here also represents Klipas Noga, where it's intermediate between Kedusha and Tumah. So sometimes it goes in one direction and takes something from Tumah and brings it to Kedusha, and sometimes the other way around. So the Braisa continues, Mashan Nosan Nosan, whatever it took, whatever it gave, meaning, in other words, that you don't undo it. In the case of the Ganav and the Gazlan, Tosfos points out, we're talking about over here that we learned in Bava Kamma, particularly, that Rebbe says both a Ganav and a Gazlan, when a person has something stolen from him, whether by a Ganav or a Gazlan, we assume that he was Miyash as soon as he finds out about it. As opposed to, we had different opinions over there that said only by a Ganav and not by a Gazlan, or the other way around, because we said that you might have, for example, a Ganav on the one hand, a Gazlan doesn't openly, in full view of everybody, so he may figure he's not going to be able to take the guy to Beis Din. No, because he's figuring this is a tough guy, I may not be able to take him to Beis Din. On the other hand, even a Yid, for example. Yeah, if it comes with a gun, for example, yeah. And on the other hand, you could say that if it was a Ganav, he didn't know yet. If it was a Ganav, then he doesn't know who it was necessarily. So therefore, he may be Miyayish, whatever. Anyway, the point is, but here we're following the opinion that he's Miyayish by both of them. And you have Shinu Rishus, because we said the Ganav or the Gazlan gave it to somebody else. So yeah. So the Gemara says, Bishlema Gazlan V'Yardin. So, okay, it's easy to understand by the Gazlan and the Yardin, the reason why it works, the Chachazi, the Hu Miyayish, because he sees what happened, and he's Miyayish, so therefore neither Rava nor Abaya would have any difficulty with that. Right away, he's Miyayish, and the whole Machlok, this is when we don't know when he was Miyayish yet. Ella, Ganev, Mi Chachazi Le Miyayish, but with a Ganev, how could he didn't see him steal. By definition, a Ganev does it. A Ganav does it in a sneaky way, so he didn't yet see that he was Miyayish. And yet we're saying that once he's Miyayish, then it'll work. There will have been Yirush and Shinu Rishus, and therefore we're saying Mashan Nosan Nosan or Mashan Notal Notal even before there's Yirush. So according to Abaya, how's that going to work? How is this third party that the Ganav gave it to, how is he able to keep it if he doesn't know whether there was Yirush yet? And the answer is Tirgamar Rapapa Ballistin Mizuyan. Rapapa explained that the Gazlan, that the Ganav we're talking about over here, is a Listin Mizuyan, is somebody who's armed with weapons. Well, so wait. So the Gemara said, no. So we learned in Bava Kamma, actually, that can be called a Ganav in the sense, what we said is that you have a Ganav, a Gazlan. The literal definition of Gazlan is that he grabs something. We learned in Bava Kamma, we had a couple of posuk that expressed the idea of a yigzol sahanis miyana mitzri, that he forcibly grabbed something out of the other person's hand. That would be a Gazlan. On the other hand, a Ganav, we said, so usually we think of a Ganav as like breaking into the house in secret or in stealing something, whatever. But we're saying also a list in Mizuyan. He hides out by the side of the road or whatever, and then he jumps out with a sword or a gun or whatever and threatens the person. So that can still make him be considered a Ganav. So the difference is, in other words, that in that case, you know that he stole, and you know who he is and that he stole, but the difference is he did it in your view. So that's the Gemara asks, Yochi Hainu Gazlan, then in that case, that amounts to a Gazlan. And the answer is no. Today, Gavni Gazlan, there are actually two different kinds of Gazlan. Both of them involve that the person knows what happened, but you have one kind where he hides out from other people and then uses his weapons, and then you have the other kind who actually goes around publicly and grabs things from people. So the Braisa is telling us that in both cases, the owner is Miyash, but not necessarily is the Braisa referring to what we usually think of as a Ganav, namely where he breaks in when the owner is not home or whatever and steals or something like that. Not necessarily is the Braisa addressing that, because if it's true, if it was addressing that, then it would be a question on Abaya, but it's not necessary. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. A Braisa says, Shtotaf Nohar Kodov Eitzav Va'avonav, if a river swept away a person's beams or his wood or his stones, the Nosnev Sech Zdei Chabera, and placed it in somebody else's field, Then the one whose field it landed in can keep it, because the owner had yush. Because, in other words, people find out about it right away. When a river floods like that and takes something from one place and brings it to something else, there's a coil about it, so people realize right away. So the Gemara says, time of this Yashra Bailim. So the implication is only because there's a coil and the owner finds out about it, and therefore is miyash right away, then therefore we can keep it. Hostamalah, implying that if there wasn't such a coil, then no, he wouldn't, the other guy wouldn't be able to keep it yet, because we don't know whether there's yush. Well, according to Rava, what's the difference? Once we find out that there's yush, then it'll be fine. So therefore we can consider that retroactive to now, because that's what Rava is holding. Now, Tosfos, by the way, points out, well, first of all, a number of Rishonim point out, we learned yesterday about Zutei Shel Yam and Shlulisa Shel Nahar, when you have the tides, when the tides rise and things get swept into the water, when you have, we said, when a river overfloods, then we said you were able to keep whatever was taken by the river or the tide or whatever. We said, Xeris HaKosu, we're going to talk about it again at the end of the Sugya today. So how is this different? So the difference is that Ramban draws a distinction. He says there's a difference between here we're talking about where, for example, there was a lot of extra rain, and therefore, so now the river has overflooded temporarily, but soon the extra water is going to be gone, and then you're going to be able to go and find what it was that was lost. There we were talking about Zuta Shuyam and Shlulisa Shel Nahar. We're talking about it got swept into the middle of the river. The only way you're going to get it is by dredging the river, and you're not going to do that. And therefore, if somebody else finds it later, then it's avuda mikol adam, as the Gemara calls it. It's lost from everybody, and therefore you're able to keep it.
Ended up in someone else's property.
So that's what we're saying. Here we're talking about it. Ended up in somebody else's property, so therefore only when we know he was miyayish, then he can keep it. But otherwise, we would say that even the owner himself is going to figure that it's not that hard to get back. Tosfos also discusses, well, let's talk about, actually, there's a difference in Gersa between Rashi and Tosfos, which also affects the meaning of this part of the Sugya. So let's finish through this part, and then we'll talk about that. Again, according to Rava, what's the difference? Whether the owner was already Miyayish, shouldn't we assume once he finds out he's going to be Miyayish, and therefore you should be able to keep it even now? So the Gemara answer is no, because Hoch Mayaskinen Kshiyochal Lahatzel. We're talking about where the owner is able to save it. So in other words, here we're talking about where the owner would be able to save it from the river. The equivalent by a regular metzia would be where he has a simen on it. And we said at the beginning of the sugya that even Rava agrees if he has a simen on it, then he's not miyayish in the first place, because he knows that he should be able to, as long as it's a place of all Jews, he should easily be able to get it back by giving a simen. So therefore, to begin with, there's no yush, and there's never going to be yush. So the Gemara says, "Ihochi ema sefer im hoyu abaylem radfen achareim chayev lahachzir." On the other hand, though, look at the sefer of the Braisa, which says that if the owner is running after it, then whoever's field it was deposited in does have to return it. Now, ibi choyin lahatzul my iriyim radfen afilo in radfen nami. Now, if you say that the owner is running after it, then what's the if you're saying rather Yechol and Lahatzel, if the owner can easily save it, then what's the difference whether Meradfin or not? Even if he's not Meradfin, again, the same way as when you lose something that has a simon, you don't have to be running after it in order for the person to have to return it. The same thing over here. If you're talking about that Yechol and Lahatzel, which is equivalent to having a simon, then why Bechlal do you need him to be running after in order for the other guy to have to return it? And the answer is, the answer is they could save it, but it would be very difficult. So if they run right away, then they're going to be able to save it. But if they wait any longer, then it's going to be gone. So meradfin lo yiyush. So if we see that they're running after it, then we know they didn't have yush. Ein meradfin yush miyash. But if they don't run after it, then we can assume they were miyash. So this brisa is not a question on Rava, because we're saying that we're saying ordinarily, yes, it's true. So what we're saying is, if Harei Yodah Shaloi, because Nisiyash Rabbeilam, because there's a coil, everybody knows right away that it was, everybody knows right away that was it, that it happened, and therefore he's Miyayish. On the other hand, if we see him running after it right away, then we know he wasn't Miyayish. And of course, no Yush means, he means you have to return it. But otherwise, we would assume by default that he is Miyayish. And therefore, and according to Rava, even if we don't know yet that he was Miyayish, that's fine, because once he's, once he finds out, he will be. So in Mirad Fanachrayan, then you can keep it. Only in the one case of and so you're talking about Yochol Lahatzel. He would be able to save it, but if he doesn't run after it right away, and it's Yochol Lahatzel, it's one of those things. He can only save it only if he sets out right away. So then that'll tell us whether he was Miyayish or not. Now, all of that is according to Rashi. In particular, Rashi has the girsa over here, like we have in the Gemara in front of us. In the Reisha, we're saying the one whose field was deposited in can keep it because the owner was Miyash, because there's a coil and the owner finds out right away. Tosfos has a different girsa. If the owner had Yush, then Harei L'Shaloi. So now Tosfos points out then that after all, otherwise, if we're talking about the Gemara is assuming to begin with that it means he could easily save it if he starts chasing after it right away. Otherwise, it'll be like Zutor Shoyam and Shlulu Sishol Nahar, like we talked about before, and then he wouldn't be able to get it back. Then no matter what, we would say that the Torah is Mezakeh to the other guy, as we're going to work out at the end of the sugya how we know that. And then that slight different girsa causes Tosfos to actually learn this whole piece slightly differently. That what we're saying is, in other words, that a river usually has bends and things in it, places where the thing is likely to snag, and then he's going to be able to get it over there. So the Gemara assumed that if he didn't start running right away when he heard about the flood, he's never going to be able to save it. It's going to end up at the bottom of the river, and that would be like Zutra Shoyam and whatever. And therefore he's going to be Miyayish on it. And then the question was if it was Stam, if the owner wasn't around at the time of the flood, so he didn't find out until later, and then he was Miyayish. So then the question is that it would be Osir for anybody to take it, because Yush Shalemidas wouldn't work like Abaya, not like Rava. And the answer is that no, Yochol Lahatzel, we're talking about that there's a simon on it. So Rashi was learning that there's no simon on it, but we're just saying Yochol Lahatzel means that he'd be able to get it, he'd be able to go and find where it went, and therefore that's the equivalent of having a simon. Tosfos is saying we're talking about it actually has a simon on it because Yochol Lahatzel. But we're saying only Yochol Lahatzel at Etchak, because after all, the river sweeps it very far away, so if he doesn't start running after it right away, and right now it would have been easy at the beginning to run after it and get it back very easily, and he instead chooses to ignore it, and later on it may be much more difficult to get it when it got swept further away. So therefore we would say that then that showed that he was Miyayish. So that's how Tosfos learns. That's how Tosfos learns the whole back and forth in the Gemara over here. Okay, in any case, the point is that the Mishnah is not a question on Rava, because we can distinguish whether he was Miyayish right away or whether we can say a case where he's never Miyayish because he knows he can get it back, versus where Yochol Lahatzel et Etchak, where whether he actually starts chasing after it demonstrates whether he was Miyayish or not. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring another. A Braisa says, Kate said Omru HaTorim Shalemi Das Trumos et Trum. Now at the beginning of Masechta, and we learned this in Kedushin as well a few months back, but at the beginning of Masechta Terumas, it says there are five cases where a person cannot take Teruma. One of them is where a person takes Teruma from somebody else's produce without that other person's das. But now the Braisa says, how do you have a case? There can be a case where he does Shalomi Das of the owner and Terumas et Teruma, and it actually is effective. What would that be? Right? A person goes into somebody else's field, the licket, and he collected enough fruit to take truma, the Torah, and he designated that as truma, shaloi berjus. im choshesh mishum gezel, if there is a concern of gezel, if the owner minds that kind of thing and would consider it gezel that somebody else took truma from his produce, ain truma, then with the truma that this guy took is not valid. That would be an example of hatodim shalemi das taveri. No, we can talk about anybody. We don't mean that he's eating the truma. We mean that Reuven is passing by Shimon's field, and he thinks to himself, you know what? I'll do Shimon a favor. I'll designate truma from his produce because he maybe didn't get around to it yet. So we're saying if Shimon considers that gezel, then it's not as we're going to explain in a second how we're going to know. We don't mean obviously if Shimon comes to Reuven and says, "What are you doing? Get out of here!" Obviously, that's gezel. There's no chiddush in that. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about another scenario in a minute. The imlav truma se truma, but if the owner is not makbid, then it is valid truma. Uminayin hu yadeya im choshish mishum gezel imlav. How would we know what the owner is thinking? Haresha ba balabayis. It means if the balabayis comes and finds him having designated this truma, but amaloy, and he tells him kloch etzo yofis, go to the nicer fruit. Kloch is actually short for the word lech lecha. So it means, in other words, like go and take from the nicer quality produce that's in this field, that's in this field or orchard or whatever. If there is in fact better quality produce, truma se truma, then it shows it's truma, is valid truma, because the owner is saying, you know what, in other words, you're doing a good thing, I should have done this, thank you for doing it for me, and in fact you should know I would have rather given from the nicer produce. So the imlav. But if not, if there's no nicer fruit, ain't truma se truma, then it's not truma, because then when he's saying like that, kloch etzi yofis, means he's saying it kind of sarcastically. You know, it's a good thing. You go take from the best, but you already took from the best. It's too bad. You might have even taken from better if I hadn't been here. So therefore, it shows that he's machbed on the guy, and therefore the truma is not truma because it was without his das. The Braisa continues, Liktu abaylam bo sifu alehen. If the owner himself collected more produce and added it to what the guy had designated, ben kach or ben kach, truma se truma, then either way, it's valid truma, because with that, obviously, he's showing that he agrees with what the guy did. The truth is, by the way, it's actually not so simple. The Meiri points out, it's actually not so simple to say that when we say truma se truma, we don't necessarily mean what the owner added to it. Because the fact is, min ha-toda, we have midrabanan, there is a minimum amount of truma, 1/60th or 1/50th or 1/40th, midaraisa, though, 1/60th achas peteres sakri, even one grain of wheat patters the whole thing. So once the first guy collected a certain amount of truma, if you add to it, you can't necessarily designate that as truma as well. It may be too late to do that. So he says it doesn't necessarily mean truma se truma, the additional part that the owner gathered. It means rather it shows now that the part that the original person gathered is valid truma.
So the fact that he added, he just wants to give more.
By adding, he's showing that he approves of what the guy did. So not necessarily doesn't mean that what he added will in fact be truma. If he wants to give it away to the Kohen, fine, but it would still be tevel, and he'd have to take out separate truma, and may have to take out separate maestros on it first before he gives it to the Kohen. But the point is, in other words, that at least he validates with that. That was it, that what the original guy gathered is valid truma. Yeah. Okay.
So giving extras is making a problem.
Giving extra could actually make a problem, yeah, because you're mixing tevel with truma, yeah. And the Kohen can't eat tevel either.
Yeah, but even if you're giving everything else truma, you're giving, I want to give a lot.
That's fine, but then you have to designate it all at once, basically. Anyway, so now the question is, so till now, all the proofs that we've been bringing have been directly from things involving metzias or stealing or whatever, things directly involving dini mominus. Now we're starting to bring in proofs from dini isser v'heter. Now you have truma as a matter of isser v'heter, but after all, there's a momin component to it as well, because it has to belong to the person, and we're saying here it requires his das. The question is, v'chinimtzu yofis mehen truma se truma, the question on Abaya would be, so what if you find nicer fruit, and you're saying that therefore the truma is valid? According to Abaya, how does that work? Amai, v'idna detorim haloi hava yoda. When he took the truma, he didn't know yet how the owner was going to react. According to Rava, no problem. Right now, the owner, it's not exactly a matter of yush. Obviously, the owner is not miyayish on it, but it's the equivalent thing. In other words, that the owner yush involves the owner's das, that he knows that he's giving this away or not, as the case may be. So according to Rava, no problem. You don't know yet, But later on, you'll find out what the situation is going to be. And based on that, then we can apply it retroactively. But once I buy it, yush lemidas, I have a yush. So according to him, how is this going to work? When you take the truma, you should already be, it has to be that you should already know what the owner's das is. When he took the truma, the owner didn't know yet. And how can you say that later on, what he finds out should work? The answer is tirgama rova libadabaya. Rava explained according to Abaya, meaning what Rava is saying, Abaya is not around to answer this himself, but I'll answer on his behalf. That we're talking about the Shavya Shliach. We're not talking about where the guy just randomly walked into the field. We're talking about where Reuven, the owner of the field, to begin with, designated Shimon as his Shliach to designate Truma. And that, well, so we're going to see. Wait. And the Gemara says, Hochi Nami Mestabra. It seems obvious. So not Hokinami Mistabra. In fact, it seems logical that you're going to understand it that way. If you're going to say he did not make him a shliach, then how could his truma ever be truma in the first place? Where do we learn the whole concept that you can designate a shliach, that you can have a shliach take truma for you? And in fact, we learn from that, from many other areas in the Torah, that you can designate a shliach. We learn that from the fact that the pasuk could have said atem, and it says gam atem, that also you should take the truma of Hashem. The context is talking about it speaking to the Levim taking truma, it's nicer, but it applies equally well to Yisrael taking his truma, because it says gam atem. From there we learn l'rabbis shluchachem, that the word gam comes to include a shliach. That means ma atem ledaitchem af shluchachem ledaitchem. So the same way as you're taking with your own das, the same way if you're going to have a shliach do it, it has to be with your das, that you actually appointed him a shliach. So very clearly then, we can't be talking about where the guy just went in and started taking truma on his own, because then if you didn't designate him a shliach, then you don't have the whole thing of gam atem. There is, by the way, there's a discussion among Rishonim. Does that mean that you have, so it comes out based on this, that you don't necessarily actually, the Gemara is going to end up saying, so you don't actually necessarily need to explicitly appoint him a shliach. It's enough that you have a gilui das. On the other hand, that's the Ramban says that. On the other hand, the Ran says it comes out from the way we're working out over here, it comes out that maybe you do need to explicitly tell him that he's a shliach. Anyway. So Ella Hochab Maiskin Kun Deshab Yeshliach. So we have to be talking about that he did appoint him a shliach. So the case would be like this. You ask him, what's the chiddush if he appointed him a shliach? Kun Deshab Yeshliach, the owner did appoint him a shliach. But Omalei Ziltroim, he told him, go take truma from my produce. Voloi Omalei Troim Mehani. He didn't tell him what kind of produce to take it from, whether the good quality or the good quality or the average quality or whatever. Now, usually when the owner himself takes truma, he's going to take from the average fruit. Tosfos points out, by the way, that there's a difference between the amount of truma and the quality of the truma. The amount of truma, you do have some people do more generously and some average and some stingy. So you have 1/40th, 50th, or 60th, as the case may be. But when it comes to the quality, most people are going to do from the average quality fruit. This guy went and took from the nicer fruit, and the owner comes and says, so now we can say, since he did make the guy a shliach, whether explicitly he told him go take truma, or according to the Ramban that he did gilui das, he shows with the way he's talking and the way he's acting that he approves of this guy. So we don't mean, in other words, that to begin with the guy walked in randomly. Because yeah, according to Abaya, that wouldn't work. What we mean is that he actually appointed him a shliach, but he didn't tell him what quality to take from. So now when he took from the nicer, now when the owner comes and tells him you should have gone to the nicer one, now we can say nimtzu yofis mehem trumas truma. If you do find nicer ones, then it is valid truma, because now it shows that given that he designated him a shliach in the first place, so there's no question of you or shaloi midas or whatever. All it is was he fulfilling his shlichus properly by taking from the nicer ones? So if there are in fact nicer ones, then it shows that it shows that he fulfilled his shlichus properly, and therefore it's valid truma. V'im lav ein trumas truma, and if not, then again the guy is saying sarcastically, if there had been any better, he would have taken that as well, and therefore it shows that he's disapproving of how the guy accomplished his shlichus, and in that case, it comes out that he's not doing his shlichus properly, and then he's not considered a shliach in the first place, because a shliach has to follow what the mishaleach tells him, and if not, then he's not a shliach. So we are talking about
it's like wasting.
What? No, because you could take it into your own granary or whatever. Let's say you're talking about grains, for example. You don't once you harvest it, or once you you have to remember we're talking about over here after Gmar Malacha. In order for it to be Chayiv and Truma and Meiser is after Gmar Malacha. So the guy has a pile of grain over there. He has a pile of grain. He has boxes of fruit or whatever. And here the shliach went and designated some of them as Truma. So no, all it is he designated them. But again, the question is whether that designation is valid or not. So it comes out, in other words, so yes, you can explain that. So according to Rava, you don't need that whole part of Shav Yishliach. According to Rava, it would be fine if the guy came in on the face of it, at least according to Rava, we could say it would actually work even if the guy walked in randomly, and then depending later on whether the Balabas comes and says what the story is with the Plochets or Yafis, then it'll work or it wouldn't work. But we're saying, at least according to Abaya, you would have to say that he actually made him a Shliach in order for the whole thing to work. Now, if you hold Yush Shalem Yadas, you have a Yush, it wouldn't work retroactively. So therefore, you have to have that to begin with. He was doing under instructions from the Balabas. And the only question is that he gave from the nicer fruit rather than average. And the question is whether that's valid or not. Now, Hagoyis Agra points out over here that the Rambam does not bring this whole matter of that you have to appoint him a Shliach in order for the designation of Terumah to be valid. So the Rambam has, so now Tosfos brings over here that the correct girsa in the Gemara is ochi nami mistabra as we have it, that we're bringing a proof to the explanation that he made him a shliach, because we're saying otherwise how would it work, because atem gam atem implies that you have to know that you have to appoint the shliach. On the other hand, the Tosfos says don't have the girsa of a tispara, that the Gemara is asking a question. Tosfos doesn't accept that girsa. On the other hand, Hagoyis Agra points out that Rambam evidently did have that girsa. So the Rambam understands when Rava is saying to explain according to Abaya, the Shav Yishliach, the Gemara is asking, why should that even be necessary? Why should we even need Klochetz or Yafis in order for it to work? Don't we say Shlocha Shalom Kabaisai? If he appointed him a Shliach, then it wouldn't matter whatever quality the guy took. We would assume he's doing on behalf of the Balabas. And the answer is that we're talking about he didn't tell him. So it would come out, in other words, all of this is only according to Rava's Teretz. But really, in fact, the answer could be that Rambam would understand that the Gemara elsewhere explains that in Kiddushin, that it's different when it comes to a mitzvah. When it comes to the mitzvah of truma, and therefore not necessarily do we say that he has to give him such explicit instructions. It's enough that he told him to take, and only if afterwards he tells him, you know what, I'm a vato of your shlichus, then we're saying that the shlichus is bottled. The point being, in other words, so according to the Rambam, it comes out, the girsa in the Gemara is, so Rava is saying the Shav Yishliach, that to answer the question, you would say he made him a shliach, but then the Gemara says, v'tispara, why should you think that he would have to in that case? Why does it make a difference if Klochetz or Yafis or not? Either way, it should be valid. And the answer is, even then, Klochetz or Yafis still has a place. So in other words, it comes out, l'maskana, you don't necessarily need to say that he actually appointed him a shliach. As long as we know that because it's a matter of a mitzvah, in other words, in effect, the guy is implicitly being appointed a shliach. So therefore, it's not a question of Yir Shalem Yidas, and therefore it would work. Okay. So in this connection, the Gemara tells a story. One time, these three chacham, Ammeima, Mazutra, and Ravashi, visited the orchard of Mori Bar Isak. Mori Bar Isak was a rich Yid who lived in Bavel at that time. We're going to have a couple of mentions of him. We're going to have a couple of mentions of him in this perek and the next perek. So they visited this Mori Bar Isak's orchard. His oris, who's working the orchard on behalf of Mori Bar Isak and is entitled to a percentage of the fruit, he brought out some dates and some pomegranates and put it in front of the Chachamim for them to eat. Mori wasn't around, the Balabas wasn't around to give him permission to do that. Amemer and Ravashi went ahead and ate from the fruit. Mazutra did not. Um, so uh, Now Tosfos discusses why that would be, why mazut. So the Gemara is going to relate it to this matter of the truma, because we're going to talk in a second that Mori Bar Issa came, but at the beginning, why didn't mazutra eat? So Tosfos points out mazutra figured since he's bringing from the orchard. Now yes, the oris is entitled to a certain percentage of the produce. We learned at the end of Bava Kamma, we said that that if you're buying a small amount of produce from an oris, that's fine, because after all, an oris owns a certain percentage of the crop, so he's entitled to sell part of his percentage. But here, he's bringing it from the orchard. Mazutra is concerned when he comes to divide up the fruit at the end of the season with Mori Bar Issa, he's not going to factor in this part that he took, and therefore it comes out that we're eating from guests. Where's Rav Ashi and Amemer? We're not concerned about that, because he figured it's from the oris's portion. Meaning, in other words, Tosfos says, the Gemara is going to end up saying the halacha is like a baya. Yush shlemi das lo have a yush. So we can't say that Amemer and Rav Ashi are eating on the assumption that when Mori Bar Issak finds out that they're there, he's going to retroactively agree, you know what, it was a good thing, because that would work. Yush shlemi das is not yush. Rather, what it is the machloikas between them is that Mazutra figures that it's true the artist is entitled to a certain percentage, but not necessarily is he going to remember or think of when he later on divides the fruit with Mori to factor this in. So it comes out it's going to be Gezel, whereas Amemar and Rav Ashi don't have a problem with that. Adahochi Osa, as they were sitting there and eating, Mori Bar Issak, Adahochi Osa Mori Bar Issak, as they were sitting there and eating, Mori Bar Issak came, Ashkechinu, and he saw them over there. So he says to his artist, Shapirta, why don't you bring the Chachamim from the nicer fruit that are over there? So Klochetz or Yafis. So they said to Mazutra, well, why now? Why, Mela, before we can understand you didn't want to eat, because like Tosfos says, you have the concern that maybe Mori Bar Issak doesn't approve of this, and we're saying that maybe the Oris is not going to make a fair division later with Mori Bar Issak. But now that Mori Bar Issak is here, that's not a problem. And obviously, by Mori Bar Issak saying Klochetz or Yafis, and there are truly nicer fruits over here, then it shows that he approved of what the Oris did. So now, why don't you want to eat? What's the problem? Omalahu Mazutra says no. This whole concept that klochetz yofes works and that the truma is valid truma would only work by truma, which is ben adam lamakim. Mishum the mitzvah uvenichalei, because after all it's a mitzvah, and we can assume the owner wants to do the mitzvah in the best possible way. Now, when it comes to, there is a mitzvah, of course, to honor Tamar Chachamim as well, but not necessarily is it on the payless per se. There's a mitzvah in general to honor Tamar Chachamim, but aval hocha. Here, Mazutra points out that Rava had said that here, when it comes to Ben Adam Machaveira, is different. He's saying that out of embarrassment. Look, they're already there. He's not. What is he going to do? Tell the artist you shouldn't have invited them in the first place. That's not Derech Eretz Dik, because they're there already. Then he's going to say Klochetz Yofes, even if he doesn't really mean it. So therefore, Mazutra is saying you can say that in fact Mori Bar Issak would not have approved if he had asked him, and if the artist had asked him in the first place, he might well have said no. Now that we're here already, then he figures he may as well make the best of it. But that doesn't necessarily show that he approved all along, and it doesn't show that when the artist did it to begin with, that he did it correctly, and therefore even now I'm not going to eat. So we see that the din of klochetz or yofes doesn't apply across the board. So this wasn't directly related. That means indirectly related to machlokas Abaya and Rava. Tosfos points out, again, once the halacha is like a baya, then we have to understand what Mazutra was doing a little bit differently. But the point is that this concept of klochetz or yofes that we mentioned that works by truma, if there are in fact nicer fruit, doesn't necessarily apply when you're talking about a person visiting somebody's orchard and being given payrus without permission. And by the way, you have when it comes to for example, if you have somebody that you know is a good friend of yours, and he surely wouldn't mind if you go take something out of his fridge and eat it. Let's say you're visiting his house, are you allowed to do that? So the shach actually brings that there may be a certain heter for it, but the Alter Rebbe says, based on this Gemara, that no, you'd need to know that the guy would have, if the guy gave you permission, if he told you to begin with, my house is open to you. Take whatever you want out of the fridge. Gesund to hate. But otherwise, if you come in there without his knowledge, then no, you wouldn't be able to. Okay. The Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof about this machlokas Abaye and Rav from a din involving the matter of hechsher peiros. We know that produce has to become wet with one of the shiva mashkin in order to be makabel truma, in order to be mukshel lekabel truma. So a braisa says, suppose a person took produce up onto his roof and overnight they got wet with dew. And if the dew is still on the peiros when he finds them, the samach, and he's happy about it because it helps keep the peiros fresh, then the concept of kiyutan applies. The pasuk says kiyutan mayim al zera, if water or any of the other mashkim is placed on a seed after it was picked. And then it's mukshel lekabel truma. So here, because the water, the dew being one of the shiva mashkim, because the dew was still on it, and he was happy about it, then the concept of kiyutan applies, and now this produce is mukshel lekabel truma. Nigvu, but if they dried before he got up there, afapisha samach, even though he is happy of the fact that it got wet before, but now when he comes and finds it, it's dry already, einan b'kiyutan, then the din of kiyutan does not apply, and these peiros are not mukshel lekabel truma. What we're saying is, in other words, overnight they had become wet, and he realizes in the morning they had been wet because he notices they're fresher than they would have otherwise been if they had been dry all night. But now, by the time he comes and finds them, they're dry. So the dew had evaporated off them earlier before he actually got there. But he realizes that there was actually dew on them sometime during the night. So even though he was happy, einan b'chiyutan, nevertheless, because he found it dry, then einan b'chiyutan. Now. Time of my, when we say that when he found them dry, why wouldn't kiyotan apply? Lav mishum delayam minin, wouldn't it be? Because we don't say, kivindi glai milsa dahashta nichale, since now we know that we don't say that because now he appreciates that dew fell on it, the ikra nami nichale, then we would say to begin with, he approved of it. We don't say that. So the question is, now the question is on Rava. According to Rava, why? The fact that now he's happy that a few hours ago it was wet with dew should make it that retroactively, when it actually was wet with the dew, it should be mukshel lekabel truma. His yediyah now, his das now, that it was wet, should have an effect on before when it actually was wet. So according to Rava, it should be mukshel lekabel truma either way. And Rava holds Yush Shalemi Das is Yush, meaning, in other words, in this case, we're not talking about Yush, we're talking about the Das of the owner. But we're saying, in other words, the Braisa is saying that it depends whether he finds them wet or not, meaning it depends what his Das is right now when he finds them. We ignore any Das that he might have had before that. Well, according to Rava, why? His Das now, that it was wet and he's happy about it, should affect what happened before and when it, before it was actually wet. And therefore, we should say that wetness made it Mokshul the Kabbal Toma. So the answer is shiny hossam, dichtiv ki yitin. The difference is that no, there it's different because you have xeris hakosiv. The posik says ki. The posik is written ki yitin. The posik is actually written ki yutan, which is in a passive form if there is placed. But it's written in the Torah without the vav, so we can read it as though it said yitin. If he places. So it actually has to be that he places the liquid on it, and in this case he didn't because by the time he came there it was dry already. But the Gemara asks the Hochi Reisha Nami. Well, in that case, the same thing should apply in the Reisha. He didn't put the water on it. The dew came on it naturally. So why in the Reisha should it work? The answer is Hossam Kedera Papa. The answer is in the Reisha, the reason why it works, and it's Mokshel Kabbal Truma, is based on Rav Papa's Drosha. Did Rav Papa wrong? Rav Papa pointed out a contradiction, a seeming contradiction in the Pasuk. Ksiv ki yitin kodin ki yutan. The way it's written in the Torah, the word yutan is written yud tof nun without the vav, so we can read it as if it said yitin. We actually read it yutan, but the way the letters are written in the Torah, it could be read yitin. So what is it? Is it yitin that he has to actually put the liquid on it, or is it yutan, it's enough that water was placed on it? So it means, hoketzan, but in ki yutan dumya de ki yitin. It means it's fine if it came on it itself. It's fine, for example, in this case, that it became wet from the dew without him getting involved. But it has to be similar to ki yitin in the sense, my yitin ladas, af ki yutan nami ladas. The same way as yitin is something that he actually does actively, the same way the ki yutan, it doesn't have to be that he does it actively, but it has to be that there's his das that is required in order for it to be mukshel lekabel truma. So therefore, so in this case, so when he finds them still wet, and now he has das, So it's not a matter of yush shalim midas or not. It's a specific din that applies to this matter of being makshal lekabel tumah. Because he found them wet and he was happy about it, therefore it has an effect retroactively, because now it means ki yutan is similar to ki yitin. Yes, it was placed there. The moisture was placed there by Hashem as a natural process, but it's similar to ki yitin that now he has das, that he sees it and he's happy about it. On the other hand, when it dried off before he actually got there, then the ki yutan was not similar to ki yitin because he had no das at the time that it was actually wet. So you have an entire Masechta of Mishnayos called Masechta Machshirin, which deals with just these kinds of dinim. You have, for example, there are many cases where water, for example, you can have the many cases where water is moved from one place to another. Did you have das for it? You have all kinds of cases in a Mishnah over there. Say, for example, you have a case in a Mishnah there in Machshirin where a person, let's say, bends down to take a drink from a river or something, and the tip of his nose gets wet. Did he want the tip of his nose to get wet? No. Is it possible to drink without doing that? Yes. Therefore, the water that came onto his nose is not considered tlushin berotzen. It's not considered that it was removed from the ground berotzen. And if that water now drips from his nose onto Paris, it won't be machshir then. Similarly, you have all kinds of cases over there where it talks about where a person's peiros become wet in one way or another, but he didn't want it to happen. You can have a simple case. A person drops a container of peiros into water, and he didn't want them to get wet, then we say they're not mukshal lekabel tumah. So it requires das. So that's and ultimately Rav Papa is saying we get that whole concept from the fact that the Torah writes it ki yutan, that we read it ki yutan, but it writes it without the vav, and therefore we can read it as though it said ki yutin. Yeah. We're going to have an example of a similar drasha later in the parak in connection with the Egla Arufa and the Parah Adumah, where there also you have a passive word that the Torah uses, but it's where we read it as a passive word, but we can read it, the letters in the Sefer Torah allow us to read it as if it was in an active verb, and we're going to talk about that later on, Daf Lamed. Okay, in any case, there's no proof from this against Rava, because here it's a specific Xeris HaKosov that applies to this concept of being Machshir Peiros, the Kabel Tumah, that doesn't necessarily apply in other areas of Halacha. Okay, like Moses Toshma, let's bring one more proof. The Omer of Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yehoitzadok. There's different Yosois who, whether it's supposed to be Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehoitzadok or whether it's supposed to be Rabbi Shimon Ben Yechoy. Anyway, Minayim La'aveda Sheshok for Nohor Shehi Muteres. How do we know that if something that was lost was swept away by a river that you're allowed? This is the Zutar Shal Yam and Shalul Yisr Shal Nohor that we talked about at the beginning of the Sugya. So for example, the tide swept away something, or a river that flooded swept away something. So again, we talk about on Amud Aleph, there's a difference, for example, there can be a difference whether there's a coil about it and the owner knows right away in his miyash versus there wasn't a coil and he's running after it, like we learned before. There can be the difference, for example, whether it's swept out near the edge of the river versus all the way into the bottom of the river, where therefore that would be mutter. Anyway, here we're talking about the cases where it is mutter. So how do we know that? Because the pasuk says, "V'chein tasa l'chamor." So also, as far as returning, as far as Hashavas Aveda, so should you do when you find somebody else's donkey. V'chein tasa l'simlasa. The same way, as far as his clothing. V'chein tasa l'chalaveda sachicha. This is what you should do for anything that your brother, your fellow yid, loses. Asher tovad mimenu, that he lost it, or mitzasa, and you find it. So now the drasha is Misha Avuda Heimenu Umetsuya Etzokoladam. When it says Hashem Tovad Mimenu Umetsasa, it implies he lost the thing. He doesn't know where it is, or he can't get to it. But you are able to get to it. That's the kind of thing that you have to do Hashavas Aveda. Yotze Sazu, as opposed to this, which is swept down into the ocean or the river or whatever. Shavuda Mimenu Ve'enu Metsuya Etzokoladam. It's lost from him, and it's not accessible to anybody else. So it finally happened. You went and dredged the river, and you found it or something. But ordinarily, it would have been lost from everybody. So that's the pasuk is saying it's mutter. Now, we can deduce from that, says the Gemara, the Isura Dumya de Hetera. Now, we should say, since the pasuk is telling us that you have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, meaning, in other words, that you have cases where it's also to keep what you found, versus we're also doubting from this pasuk, the case where it's mutter, then it has to be that they're parallel. The case of the Isur that we're learning and the case of the Heter that we're learning from the pasuk have to be similar in the sense, Ma Hetera ben de Isba Simen or ben de Lesba Simen Shara. When it comes to the Heter, whether there's a Simen or not, the Torah is being matured to you because it's Avoda, we call Adam. Af Isura, the same thing when it's Osir, ben de Isba Simen or ben de Lesba Simen Asura, the same way when it's Osir, it wouldn't matter whether there's a Simen or not when you have a case where where there wasn't yet yush in it, it's going to be osur, even though because it's a avut, because it's mitsuya, it's a koadim, because you can easily access it, then it would be osur, even if there's no simon on it, as long as you don't know that the guy was miyayish. Tiyuv to
derabba. But if there's no simon on it, what's
so once he finds out, he'll be miyayish, but since he didn't find out yet, then you can't take it yet, the pasuk is implying.
Even though there's no
simon. That was the whole thing that we're discussing about. So tiyuv to derabba. This is a clear contradiction of rabba. Moses Tiyufta, you're right. This is a clear contradiction on Rava, because according to Rava, it shouldn't matter as long, even if there's no simon on it. Because there's no simon on it, once he realizes it's lost, he's going to be miyash. But we're deducing from this drasha on the pasuk that no, even when there's no simon on it, there can be cases where it's also, namely where he wasn't miyash yet, which works out exactly according to Abaya and cannot be made to work according to Rava. And the Gemara says, fine. We have six cases where the halacha is like Abaya against Rava. Usually the halacha is like Rava over Abaya, but here there are six cases where it's not, and this is one of them. The Yud is over here, Yiyush Shalomidas. The other five Rashi identifies, Ayin is AIDS, is a case involving an Eid Zoymim in Sanhedrin. The Lamed is a case in Eruvin Lechi Ha'omen Me'elav, where you have a Lechi that's there before Shabbos, that's just standing there by itself, by a Mavri, for example, a tree, let's say. Is it a valid Lechi or not? Lechi is not the horizontal beam, a vertical thing that you put by the entrance door of a mavoi, which serves as a heker. It serves the Gemara discusses in Erevin whether it's a heker or a machitza or whatever, but allows you to carry in the mavoi as long as you make a shittuf mavoyus. Shittuf mavoyus means basically, in other words, it's the equivalent of an erev chatzeris. But as far as but all the people in all the chatzeris, all the people who live in the chatzeris surrounding that mavoi all contribute some food and you make it. So that's the lamed. Tosfos actually in other places identifies two other possibilities what the lamed could be. One is that it's a case in Masecht Nida involving Yemei Leda, involving when a woman has given birth, whether it counts towards her Nida and Ziva days or not. And another one, Tosfos brings from Chachmei Narbona, that it's a case in Masecht Pesachim about Loi Efshav Loi Kamachav, and if it's impossible for a person to avoid a certain heter, but he doesn't mean to have to avoid a certain hanah. But he doesn't mean to have enough from it. Does he have to try to stay away from it or not? So the Gemara discusses that in Pesach. Anyway, so one of those three is the Lamed. The Kuf is Kiddushin Shel Nimsur Leviyah, which we learned about in Masechta Kiddushin. When you have a case, a man was Makadish, for example, one of two sisters, and we don't know which one he was actually Makadish, and therefore both of them are also to him because each one might be his wife's sister. The Gimel is Gilui Daita Begitta, is a case that we learned about in Gittin, where a person sent a get to his wife, and then he says something from which we can infer that he wants to be Mevatalit, but he didn't actually say in so many words, I'm Mevatalit. We had the example of a fellow named Gidol Bar Eli, who sent a get to his wife, and the guy, he comes to her, and she says, I'm busy now, come back tomorrow, and he goes back to Gidol, and Gidol says, Baruch Hashem, does that amount to that he's Mevatal the get, Baruch Hashem, and therefore I want to be Mevatal the get, or Baruch Hashem, that it didn't happen yet, but nevertheless, the get is still valid. Abaya and Rava argue about over there. The halacha is like Abaya. And the last one is also a case from Sanhedrin. The mem is mumo eichol nevelos lahachis. When you have a person who eats nevela or does other avedos lahachis, apostle leedos, and Abaya and Rava argue about that. So there also the halacha is like Abaya. Now, why are they in this order? Why they seem to be in random order over Shas, especially the Ayin and the Mem are back-to-back over there in Gemara Sanhedrin. Why does the Gemara put them in this order? So the Noda Behuda has an interesting series of Droshas on the subject. There's a sefer of Droshas from Noda Behuda called Dordash Lutzion. For 3 years running, he gave every year Shabbos Shuvah, he gave a drasha dealing with parts of this. In those times, by the way, a Rav would generally only give a drasha Shabbos Shuvah and Shabbos HaGadol. So here, for 3 years in succession, Noda Behuda devoted his Shabbos Shuvah drasha to this kind of thing. So the first year he explained two of them, the next year another two, and so forth. He explains the vote is, now that the Gemara has shown that the halacha can't be like Rav in Yir Shalem Yidas, that necessarily, from that, has to follow about the din of Eid Zayim. In other words, if we had found a way to make Rava's din work over here, then we would have said that we could pass him like him in Eid Zoyman. But because we found out here the halacha cannot be like him in Yir Shalem Yidas, that forces us to say, and he has a long arichos, why it's so, that therefore an Eid Zoyman must necessarily be possible mafreya. And because we prove that, that leads to the case of the Lechi Omen Me'elav, and because the Lechi Omen Me'elav, that leads to the next one, and so forth. So they're listed in the order where one of them is derived from the previous one. Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, has an explanation in Apir Kabbalah. He said the word Ya'al means there should rise up. Kagam is short for Kahos Gershon Merori, the three sons of Levi. We know that Shevet Levi is associated with Gvura, the Koyanim of Chesed and Levim of Gvura. And Rav Levi explains that Abaya and Rava also, Abaya represents Chesed, Rava represents Chesed, Abaya represents Gvura. And he explains Barichos how it's so. So therefore, Abaya is Ya'al Kagam. Kagam, which represents Gvura, should come higher than Chesed. Therefore, the Gemara listed in that order to represent that concept. And he explained, by the way, how in particular the Shittas of Abaya and Rava, in particular, how they affect the matter of Kiddushin and Gittin, and he has Barichos why it should be that way. Okay, so the Gemara says to finish off this discussion of Abaya and Rava, Omulet of Acha Bredi Rava, Lord of Ashi, Vechime Acha de Itois of Rava. Now that Rava has been contradicted, now, by the way, Tosaf points out, Rava knew of this Braisa as well. At the beginning of the Sugya, we mentioned this concept that that Zutta shall know, Zutta shall yam and Shalusa shall know her as Mutter. However, Rava didn't realize that you can deduce from it Isura Dumya Dehatera, as the Gemara just pointed out. He didn't realize that that corollary, that inference that we can make from the Braisa. That because we're saying when it's mutter, it doesn't matter whether there's a simon or not. The same way, when it's also, it doesn't matter whether there's a simon or not. Rava hadn't realized that point. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, Omelet of Acha Bred the Rava of Ash. V'chimei Acha de Itois of Rava. Now that Rava has been schlugged up, and Yush Shlomidas is not Yush, Hani Tamri de Zika Heichach Linen Lahu. How is it when dates fall off the tree and are blown off the tree by the wind, how are we able to eat them? According to Rava, it wouldn't have been a problem, because you could say that when the guy realizes they fell off, so therefore it works retroactively. But now we're saying, according to Abaya, it doesn't work. So how are we, and the fact is, we see all the time that people eat such dates. Amalei, so Ashi answers, given the ikashkotzim or amosim, the ka'achli lahu, since there are bugs and creepy, crawly creatures and whatever, and that eat them, therefore, me'ikre, yushimiyash, minayu, therefore, the owner to begin with has yush from them. So it's not a question of when he finds out he's going to be miyash. To begin with, he figures any that are going to be blown off the tree, he's miyash from to begin with, because he realizes most likely the bugs and the reptiles and whatever will get him. Tosfos points out the word dezika over here means they're blown away by the wind, which means they're not necessarily under the tree. They may be further out. If they were under the tree, it might be different, because the owner might figure they're going to fall directly under the tree. And like we said before, they're recognizable as coming from this tree, and therefore people may not take them. But since in here, they're more likely to blow away than therefore is miyash. And we're saying even the ones that happen to land under the tree, nevertheless, shkotzim or amasim are going to get them, and therefore the owner is miyash on them in the first place.
So those don't get squashed as much.
They are soft fruit, but not quite as soft. They are soft, juicy fruit. And in fact, that's why shkatzim or amasim are more likely to eat them, unlike olives that we talked about before. But nevertheless, they're not necessarily going to get squashed. But here, where they fall under the tree, or far away from the tree, then the owner is miyash, because he figures the bugs are going to get them. So Rav Acha Bre Rava continues asking, Yasmi Dlab Ne Mechila Ninumai. So what about then if the fruit might have come from a tree that belongs to Yisoimim? And Yisoimim being Ketanim are not capable of being machnet to somebody else. So they're not capable of having Yush because they don't have Das. So if we had said that the Halacha is like Rava, then fine. We could say when they get older, they'll be Yash, so it would work for now. But now that we say that doesn't work, then how does that work? So Rav Ashi says, fine, there might be Yisoimim out there. Boga, a whole valley full of fields and orchards, but arad yasmi lemachzakinim. We're not going to assume that any random field belongs to Yisoimim. When you find dates, b'derech klal, they come from a field that belongs to adults. So he asks him, muchzak bo'oimen mai. Fine, what if we have a particular area where we know there's a chazaka that belongs to Yisoimim? Or krachdamai, or what about if the owner put a fence around the palm tree, showing therefore that he expects that the fruit is going to fall within that fence, and therefore and the bugs and then reptiles and whatnot aren't going to be able to get to it. Or Tosfos explains the question is that you could have, nevertheless, some of them are going to fall outside of the fence. So then, do we say that he's miyayish on all of them, or maybe then even ones that fell outside the fence, the owner was not miyayish from in the first place, because as far as he knew, they're going to fall within the fence. Omalei, so Rav Ashi says, you're right, Asiron, and in that case, they would be also. So even the ones that are outside, because he assumed to begin with that they're going to fall inside the fence. And then they won't get gotten by Shkotzim or Amasim. The Rambam has a slightly different explanation of Knachta, not a fence like Rashi and Tosfos says, but rather, for example, that he put mats underneath the tree. So any fruit that falls down is not going to get dirty and be more likely to be eaten by the bugs and whatnot, but rather that it's going to land on the mats and then it'll stay safe there until you can come and collect them. So then you wouldn't be able to take them off that mat because obviously the owner was not Miyai Shalom. Okay. Everyone.